Would you stand with me this morning? Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 17. I'm not known for brief sermons, but I will be somewhat brief this morning, the Lord willing. And maybe what I have to say is a little different. But I have prayed and sought the face of God. I really wasn't sure about what I was going to be preaching this morning. In fact, I just began to think about something and had my wife to fax some notes that I'd left at home. But that was all in vain, because as I continued to pray, my heart was taken in this direction. And I want to share this with you today. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 15. And 16. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and Abiathar the priest, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up, and all the people that are with him. I want to preach this morning for a little while on the thought, don't die in the wilderness. Would you point your hand toward me and ask God to touch me in a very special way? Father, I need your touch this morning. As I have confessed numerous times, I have no talent, I have no ability within myself to say or do anything that would affect anybody. God, I need your special touch this morning, that anointing that makes preaching effective, that fresh anointing. Touch my mind, my lips to speak the word of God. Anoint the people, anoint their ears to hear, anoint their hearts to receive the word of God. And anoint our minds this morning that our thoughts would not be taken captive of the enemy. And I will give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands with someone as you're seated this morning and tell them I'm going to back the preacher. Give me a little on the monitors, if you will. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Amen. Don't die in the wilderness. You know, as I was meditating upon this morning and thinking about David. David is any one of us. David was a man who loved God. The Bible said he was a man that was after God's own heart. He was a man that hungered and thirsted for the Lord, according to Psalm 63 and according to Psalm 42 and other Psalms. But we also find that in these areas where we would want to desire to be like David, there are some areas that we would not want to be like him. He failed God. He sinned grievously against the Lord. But yet, I don't want to look at his bad side this morning, but I want to look at David as a man of God, a man who was not only a priest of the Lord, not in the sense of a high priest, but, you know, a spiritual leader, but he was a father, he was a grandfather, he was a brother, he was a man that he had a desire to know God in a very special way. He was strong, but yet he was also weak as well. He was the man that succeeded, but he was also a man that failed. You know, David was a warrior. I kind of liken him unto an eagle, so to speak. A man that soared spiritually at times. A man that was strong. A man that desired to know his Creator. You know, the Bible likens the child of God, the saints of God, as eagles. Amen. Have you ever studied that and looked into it? There's some amazing similarities the child of God to a great eagle. In fact, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 40 and 31, it said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Amen. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Listen, we are likened unto an eagle, and we are likened unto that strong that God has made and that God has created. It said here in this chapter that Hushai sent certain counsel to David, and he said to him, David was on the run. David was in the wilderness. David was running from Absalom the beloved, and we find him and all of the people encamped in the plains of the wilderness. But Hushai sent him counsel and said, don't lodge there this night. Don't stay there in the wilderness. In other words, David, if you stay in the wilderness, you are going to die. You're going to perish. And he said, you know, to escape, to rise up, to leave. There's a lot of people in the church, and I'm sure that there are some here at Living Waters that are in the wilderness spiritually this morning. Can you say amen? And if they don't rise up, and if they don't get out of the wilderness, the spiritual wilderness that they are in, they are going to die. And they're going to perish spiritually. Somebody say amen again. You know, liking the child of God unto the great eagle. When I begin to hear about what eagles were like and things of that nature, I'm not a specialist in that area, but it so blessed me. You know, as people study these great animals, you know, I remember hearing a man that said all over the world he studied the eagle, the Filipino eagle, and others in Australia. Some were so powerful that they could carry a small kangaroo in their talons and carry them to a far distance. And he told about how beautiful and how wonderful these majestic birds were. And when you look at it in the sense as being like a child of God, they are strong, they soar the heavens, but yet there are some other similarities. He said that an eagle could live between 60 and 100 years of age. And that these great eagles, sometimes they go through a period in their life called the moping period. It is a time of depression. They don't know why they go through that. They don't understand why that the great eagle goes through this valley of its life, but it does. They, you know, no more than I know why a child of God sometimes has trials. Now, sometimes God sends a trial. Sometimes He allows the devil to send a trial. And then there's sometimes we just do not understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. We don't understand why there are valleys, and we don't understand why there are times it seems like the heavens are brass and that God is 1,000 miles away, or it seems like that we are so spiritually low that we're going to have to rise up. How we're going to perish. I was in a bank recently talking to an official there, and we were friends from high school. In fact, he was a teacher at that time, and I was a student. But he said to me, you know, for months now, it seems like I'm going through such a terrible time. It seems like it's so hard to make it. I don't want to give up. I'm not thinking about going back, but I'm just having a difficult time. The devil, I said, let me tell you, it's not all always the devil that comes to us in this manner. It's sometimes it's God's terrible dealings with man to get us into a place where we ought to be. He said, I'm so glad you came by here today. Hallelujah to God. Listen, my friend, I don't understand why, but I've been in that valley. I have been in that wilderness more times than I want to confess. But he said that these eagles go through this time, this moping period. You know, I heard this old brother say, I'm sure he's elderly now, but he told how that some years ago he was out west preaching. And he said after the service, an Indian came up to him by the name of Tacoma. And Tacoma said to him, said, preacher, I can tell from the things that you mentioned in your message that you know a lot about the eagle. He said, well, I've studied him for many years. And the Indian said, be ready in the morning early. I think it was about 5 o'clock. And put your walking shoes on. I'm going to take you and show you something that will bless you. So the preacher got up early in the motel, and the Indian came in his jeep and picked him up. And they headed off to a place called Eagle Mountain. When they got there at Eagle Mountain, they got out of the jeep and began to look around and in the sky. He said, I counted 33 eagles in an hour's time. We stayed there an hour watching them soar the heavens. He said it was a beautiful sight to see. But the Indian said, preacher, that's not what I brought you here to see. And he looked and pointed over into the wilderness, into a gorge, a valley, you know, of thistles and thorns and rocks and things of that nature. And he said, down there in that wilderness, this is what I brought you to see. They got back in the jeep and they winded down an old road for a long time. And finally they stopped the jeep and couldn't go any farther. And he said, we'll have to walk now. And the preacher and the Indian got out of the jeep and began to walk a ways. And finally, after a couple of miles, they came out into a large, open, cleared area. And the sunlight was shining through. And to the preacher's amazement, he saw five eagles standing there in the wilderness. He said, these eagles were in the worst condition I've ever seen. He said, there were thorns and things all mixed added into their feathers. He said, I've never seen such a condition. They were so poor, they'd lost so much weight. He said that I noticed as I got closer. He said they didn't fly away. They didn't run away. They were not able. He said their eyes, around their eyes were so dry. But because he said a strong eagle weeps. A strong eagle can cry. That if you look through a telescope look through binoculars or something of that nature, you can see the wetness around a strong eagle's eyes. But he said they could no longer weep. They were in such a condition they could no longer cry. The Indian said, pick one of them up, preacher. He said, Tacoma, I studied eagles all of my life. And he said, even I know that a weak eagle can hurt you. Not these eagles, preacher. They're too worn. They're too weary. They're too far gone to hurt you. And he said, I went over and picked one up and its head actually fell sideways. It was too weak to hold up its head. This was a common thing that took place. And he said, as I looked at this eagle, and when I heard this, I thought about David in Psalm 63, 1 and 3, when he said, save me, O God, for the waters are coming under my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am combed into deep waters where the floods overflow me. My throat is dry. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. David said, God, I'm overwhelmed. I cannot go any farther. And he said, I've cried till I can't cry anymore. He said, I've cried until, and I prayed, he said, until I can't pray any longer. My throat fails. My eyes fail. My eyes fail. I've gone as far as I can go while I wait for my God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in the wilderness? Have you ever been to the place where you've cried and can't cry any longer? That you prayed but you can't pray anymore. And you don't know why. And you've questioned, you've wondered why. But here you are. And he said, as I looked at these eagles and knew that they were in such a sad plight. And he said to the Indian, Tacoma, what's going to happen to these eagles? What's going to take place with them? He said, come on, preacher. He looked at his watch. He said, it's about time. About time for what? The preacher said, just follow me. And they got over in the bushes and hid. And they were there a few moments. He looked at his watch, and all of a sudden, the old preacher said, I saw and counted about 8 great eagles as they began to fly over and circle above those 5 that were on the ground. And I noticed, he said, something in their claws. And he said, I begin to look, what is that? He said, that's pieces of squirrel. That's pieces of rabbit. That's pieces of meat that these 8 eagles have clawed and torn. What are they going to do? Just wait. And as they circled overhead, they begin to drop these pieces of squirrel and rabbit and meat down to those 5 eagles that were there on the ground. And when they did that, he said, there were 3 or 2 two of those eagles that stepped out of the crowd of the five, and they hobbled over, and they found that piece of meat and began to pull at it, and begin to pluck at it, and begin to chew on it. And all of a sudden, these other eight eagles came down, and they flew around these two, and they threw out their wings, and they were making a noise. What are they doing? He said, "Preacher, those eight eagles, several weeks ago, they were in this wilderness, and they were in this valley, and they were going through the moping period. But," he said, "somebody brought them the meat. Somebody brought it to them, and they ate, and now they're bringing it back to somebody else." Hallelujah! 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 And he said, "Those eight eagles were encouraging the others, eat that meat," hallelujah. And so they were pulling at it. Then they'd take their wings and get all the old feathers out of their wings, getting rid of everything that was hindering them. Oh, and he said, about that time, that old Indian, Tacoma, he began to jump up and down and begin to cry out, "That's right, eagle, go ahead and eat that meat. You're not going to die in this wilderness. That's right, great eagle, just keep eating that meat. You don't have to die. You're going to refuse to die. You're going to live. You're going to come out of this wilderness. That's right. Hallelujah. I've got news for you this morning. I flew over 2,000 miles to tell you and had a difficult time getting here. Thank God, if you eat that meat, if you rise up, you don't have to die. You don't have to stay in the wilderness any longer. You don't have to perish. Eat that meat. Rise up, you can live." Hallelujah. Oh my God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I don't care how long you've been in that valley. I don't care how dark it's been. Thank God you've got a man here. You've got great eagles in this church. And they've been there before you. They've experienced it. And they're flying over with the meat, the Word of God. And they're dropping it. They're encouraging you. You don't have to die. You can live. Hallelujah. You can come out of that wilderness. You don't have to stay there any longer. You don't have to live there any longer. Because if you do, you're going to die. Tacoma, what will happen to these other three? "Follow me, preacher," he said. We went a little distance and he said, "I saw 27 little white crosses. And 27 little graves. Preacher, these are other eagles over the years who came down into this wilderness who refused to eat that meat. And they died. And I buried them here in this little cemetery. Because they would not put forth an effort. They would not accept that meat, preacher. They would not make an effort to live. They refused what was given to them. They refused the meat, and therefore they grew weaker and weaker and weaker until eventually they died. It didn't matter those great eagles dropped it to them. It didn't matter that they encouraged them to eat and tried to get them to live and tried to get them out of that wilderness. It didn't matter that they told them, "We've been here also. We've been here, but we ate the meat. And now there's a way out of this. There's hope. You don't have to stay here." They refused to hear that preacher and they died. What kind of a wilderness are you in this morning? Is it a wilderness of despair and discouragement? Is it a wilderness of bitterness? You've got bitterness against an unfaithful spouse. Or maybe something that happened when you were a child. What kind of a wilderness are you in today? Maybe it's a wilderness of lust. Maybe it's a wilderness of some other thing, you know, that's working against your life and you're there in that despair. I'm telling you, I've come to tell you today that God's got His eagles here. They've been trying to help you. And you know what? You say, "I'm not going to hear that. Nobody's going to tell me how to live. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me I'm going to do what I want. I'll not hear that. I'll not receive that. I'll not accept that. I don't like that." Then you're going to die.
They went back after the week continued in the revival meeting. Several days later, on a Friday, the Indian said, preacher called him. And he said, I just wanted to tell you that those three eagles died and I buried them. And he said, they died this morning, but said, I've got some good news. One of those other eagles is climbing out of the wilderness. He's not flying now. I want you to notice that. He's climbing out. He's still not soaring the heavens. He's still not got the strength. You know, he's not on top of that thing. But he's climbing out a little at a time. Come on now. I know we all like to come up and have hands laid on us and have an instantaneous walking out of the valley. Come on. Amen. I've been there. I've wanted that. But I've seen the times I didn't get it that way, brother. It took a long time. A little at a time. I prayed in those altars. I sought God. I fasted. And I knew I was coming out. I knew the chain had been broken. I knew there was deliverance. But I also realized I'm not going to be on top of this mountain. It's going to take a while. Somebody help me preach this morning. But said, preacher, he's done got out of that valley and said he's on his rock. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Said he's already on his rock. And he said that other eagle said he's already about halfway out of the wilderness and he's climbing right on up. Amen. Said he's got rid of everything that was hindering him. But said, I want to come get you this morning and take you back to Eagle's Bluff. And I want you to see an eagle there called Tanakin. Tanakin? Oh, yes. Said he's a little eagle. And said, a few weeks ago, he was down in that valley too. But preacher, he's already come out of the valley, walked out of that wilderness, and said he's already up there on that mountain. Oh, he said, Tanakin, or Tacoma, he said, when we were out there that day, we saw 33 eagles. How on earth do you know who Tanakin is? He said, I know him, preacher. Besides that, I know where his rock is. Hallelujah, I know where his rock is. You see, that's the key. Do you know where your rock is this morning? I said, do you know where the rock is? Thank God. If you can just find the rock and get on the rock, hallelujah, you will make it. So they got in that Jeep and went back out early that morning. That Indian got out of that Jeep and got his telescope out and began to look, you know. And finally brought that thing to a certain spot and said, oh, there he is, preacher. You see him? I do see him. Yes, sir. And said, it's his prayer time. It's his what? It's his prayer time. Amen. What do you mean it's his prayer time? Look at this, preacher. And he said, you know, I looked through that and I saw that eagle just like I was standing in front of him with that instrument, you know. And said, I saw that little eagle on a rock that he told me about and said he had his little face turned toward the heavens. Amen. And he said, I noticed that he had tears running out of his eyes and that little soft feathers around his eyes were wet. And said, he's going, making a noise. And I could hear it. And that Indian said, you know what, preacher? He's shouting. Amen. Yes, sir. He's shouting. What is he shouting about? He's thanking his God, preacher, because 2 weeks ago, he was down in that wilderness, dying in that moping period. But he's thanking God that he didn't leave him there. He's thanking God that somebody brought him that meat. He's thanking God that he was determined, that he refused to die there. And he just determined he's going to live. And he's here today. And said, after about 20 minutes, that eagle jumped off of that rock and began to soar the heavens. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And he said they were on the way back to town. And said, driving that, suddenly that Indian stopped that Jeep and jumped out by the side of the road and went to shouting. And he said, what is it, Tacoma? He said, I see a vision. What do you see? Tell me. He said, I see. After a few weeks, he said, oh, Tanakin, he's going to get strength back and soar those heavens. And then he's going to remember that there's somebody else in that wilderness. He's going to remember how God brought him out. He's going to go kill that rabbit or squirrel and take that meat down and drop it to somebody else. Hallelujah. I've got news this morning. You've been there. Don't you ever forget it. Do you hear me? Let's don't shove them down. Let's don't push them away. But let's tell them, I've been there. God's able. He will lift you up. Hallelujah. You don't have to die. You can live. You can live. You can live. Oh, God. Would you stand? Come to the piano. Are you one of those eagles this morning that has once soared the heavens spiritually? It's once been strong and mighty in the Lord, who is so close to Him. For whatever reason, this morning, you found yourself in the wilderness and you realize, I'm dying. I'm perishing. I don't want to be here. I don't want to die. I don't want to be in this valley. I don't want to be in this trial. But God's saying to you this morning, you can live or die. You can take heed to what's been preached in this pulpit and receive it and start climbing out. You can step out this morning symbolically and begin to take that meat, and you can live. It may be a long road back up. It may take a while, but God will help you. You can start this morning. You can step out by faith and say, God, I refuse to die. I'm going to live. I'm going to make it. There's a way out.